Christ the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about. Adoring, loving, serving, and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Christ is in Christmas. And we don't want to leave Christ out of Christmas. We don't want to X him out, right? We want to make sure that we keep Christ in Christmas. Can you hear me okay? I'm not good with technical things like getting things stuck on my ear, you know. But we're good. So I just want to read a quick Christmas card from our resident missionaries, John and Maria Van Wormer, who came up from Mexico. They served the Lord for 18 years in Mexico. John is in the back doing the sound booth, and Maria played piano for us, and their family is here. And they just said very simply and beautifully, "Dear brothers and sisters, thank you for your continued support as we leave one ministry and begin another. It is a joy to fellowship with you all and to worship our Emmanuel together. Love, John, Maria, and the clan." So John was a pilot down in Mexico for 18 years, and now he's training pilots at Moody Aviation in Spokane. So what a great, great new ministry. He flew to some of the most remote places in the mountains of Mexico, and now he's training others how to fly that kind of flying. So let's give John and Maria a hand. Thank you. Thank you for serving the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Maria happens to be my daughter, and I kind of like her. Yeah. Okay. Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You know, I love the Christmas carols. That's something I was raised on, the songs about Christmas. And they speak of that great day in history when Christ was born, when Jesus Christ was born. And when that was when the glorious mystery we call the incarnation appeared. The incarnation means God in flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus our what? Emmanuel. Can you say Emmanuel with me? Emmanuel. It means God with us. The glorious mystery of the Christian faith, that God became a man. Amen? So the Christmas carols also tell of the other different characters in that wonderful drama we call the Christmas story. Last night, we looked at the shepherds. The shepherds are those great heroes that were considered lowlifers back then. But we love them because they heard the message of Christ. They went and saw Jesus in the stable. And then they went and told everybody they met, "We've seen the Savior. We've seen the Messiah. He's alive." So we looked at the shepherds last night. And we lit the shepherd candle, which is the pink candle. This is our Advent wreath. We had the candle of love, the candle of peace, the candle of joy, and today is going to be the candle of love. We're going to talk about the angels. Ooh, angels. So Johnny, can I use you again? He's our candle lighter. Yeah, come on up and light all the four candles. The center candle is the candle of Christ. We're going to light the shepherd candle, the Bethlehem candle, Nicely done. All right. Thanks, little John. Yeah. So today we're going to meet some very important characters in the Christmas story, the angels. I call them the Christmas messengers. They are those glorious servants of God who play a huge role in the Christmas story. A huge role. We're going to see that today. And, you know, the words translated angel in the Old Testament Hebrew and in the New Testament Greek, the word means a messenger. A messenger. Angels are messengers sent from God. And they do the Lord's will in heaven and in earth. So they're very important creatures. And in the Christmas story, there's a lot of angelic activity. We're going to look at four angelic appearances connected to Christmas this morning. And the messengers of Christmas, each one has a different message to proclaim. So we've lit the angel candle, which is also the candle of love. Angels show their love for God, and they give the love of God to us. We shall see that as we keep going here today. Let's see. So they each have a different message, and we have lit the angel candle, and now we're going to pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together. Father, we thank you for your love for us. You loved the world so much that you gave your only Son. You gave Jesus. He was born on that first Christmas day. But he didn't stay a baby. Lord Jesus, you became a man, and ultimately you died on the cross for our sins. So we celebrate your birth during Christmas time, but we always look forward to the cross where you died and then your glorious resurrection from the grave. So we thank you, Lord, for your ministry to us, and we thank you for the angels. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So before we look at these appearances of the angels, I want to explore for a few minutes a very puzzling question. Who are these guys? Who are these angels? What are they? We don't have a description of what they look like in the Bible. There's some references to, they're called seraphim and cherubim. We don't know exactly what they look like. They have wings. We don't know if all the angels have wings or if just the seraphim and the cherubim have wings. But we picture angels with wings, right? That's probably a biblical idea. But I can tell you what they are not, what angels are not. You know those pictures on old Christmas cards and in other places of these cute, plump, little babies with wings? You know, kind of like Cupid, little baby with a bow and arrow. That's not how the Bible portrays angels. It's a cute idea, but that isn't how the Bible portrays angels. Angels are much more intimidating than a flying baby. A flying baby isn't very terrifying, but angels can be terrifying, as we shall see. The Bible instead pictures angels more like strange visitors from another realm with powers far beyond those of mortal men. That's what angels are. Strange visitors from another realm with powers far beyond those of mortal men. In the Bible, when someone meets an angel, the almost universal reaction is what? We talked about this last night. What's the universal reaction? Ah! Fear, terror. These angels are awesome and glorious, and they strike fear in people's hearts. They are not to be trifled with. They are powerful creatures. Angels are awesome, powerful creatures, and usually their first words to people are, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. It's okay. I know I'm fearsome, but I've got a message for you." So we know, you know, the Bible doesn't give an account of when they were created or how they were created. We don't know for sure. But we do know that they must have been created before God created Adam and Eve. Why do we know that? Why do we know that angels must have been created before Adam and Eve? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Adam and Eve were tempted by a fallen angel called the devil. So sometime before Adam and Eve were created, the angels were created, and a third of them fell and rebelled against God. So we don't know exactly when it happened. So we have a lot of questions about the angels that the Bible doesn't answer, but we're going to find out in heaven. All of our questions are going to be answered, right? Let's see. We don't have the time this morning for an in-depth study of the angels, but it's an interesting study. And Billy Graham wrote a book years ago called Angels, God's Secret Messengers. So if you want to learn more about the angels, get that old book by Billy Graham called Angels, okay? You know, we do know that there must be vast numbers of angels. They must be huge amounts of angels. Why do we know that? Because when the scripture talks about the gathering of angels around the throne of God, it uses terms like countless thousands of angels, an innumerable company of angels, myriads of angels, thousands upon thousands of angels, 10,000 times 10,000 angels. It's trying to say, we can't count them. There are countless numbers of angels. And in several places, angels are compared to the stars of heaven. How many stars are there in the heavens? The more we look through our sophisticated telescopes, we see more and more and more stars. And one astronaut said, there are as many stars in heaven as there are grains of sand on the earth. Whoa. So that must mean there's a lot of angels, right? A lot of angels. And if I happen to believe, I have a tiny bit of scriptural evidence, I happen to believe that there's such a thing as guardian angels, an angel that watches over you. And if that's true, there are billions of people on earth. There would have to be billions of angels, right? So I don't know that for sure, but I know there's lots of angels. So maybe I've raised more questions than answers about angels today, but I want you to know that angels, the Bible teaches this. Angels are real. They are personal. They are powerful. And they are faithful servants of the living God. And they're the messengers of Christmas. Right? Would you buy that? Okay. Could there be angels here with us today? It seems that most of the time they're invisible. They're in a little different dimension or a little different realm, but they're here. I believe there are angels here. Do you? It's interesting to think about, huh? Angels. There's an old spiritual that says, all night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. You believe that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's about as good as it gets, folks. Oh, boy. So we're going to learn a little bit about the messengers of Christmas today, the angels. What very important person received the first angelic message about the miraculous birth of Christ? Mary, the Virgin Mary. Do you remember the name of the angel who visited her? Gabriel, the angel Gabriel. We're going to read the account of Gabriel's meeting with Mary. Did I pray? Okay, good. I don't have long-term memory. Did I pray? Okay. Okay, we're going to be in Luke 1. And we're going to read a few verses. Verses 26 through 38, and we have learned from a previous visit by Gabriel visited the father of John the Baptist earlier in this chapter, and Gabriel said, I am Gabriel who stands before God. So we're going to hear from Gabriel today. Let's read Luke 1, 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The sixth month, by the way, means it was 6 months after John the Baptist's mom, Elizabeth, was pregnant with John the Baptist. So 6 months after John the Baptist was conceived, the angel Gabriel came to Mary. He was sent by God to a city of Galilee named... John, we're not in that scripture. I'll clue you in when we're going to be in that one, okay? Oh, that's good. Yeah, see, I have a cheat sheet back there. Okay, thanks, John. Appreciate it. All right. Yes. And he was sent, verse 27, if you have your Bibles, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled. That means she was scared. She was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, what did the angel say? Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Verse 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Wow, this is a powerful baby that's coming, and it's going to be conceived. Well, we're going to see, because Mary's going to say, wait a minute. Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? In other words, I haven't had relations with a man. I'm a virgin. How in the world am I going to have a baby? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So here we have the first Christmas messenger telling Mary, you are going to be the mother of Messiah. You're going to be the mother of the Christ, the one whose kingdom will have no end. And Mary said, wow, how can this be? It's this, the one who's going to be in your womb will be created by the Holy Spirit, and he will be called the Son of God. The angel said he's going to be called the Son of God, but he also said he's going to have the kingdom, the throne of his father David. So once again, we have the deity and the humanity of Jesus Christ being proclaimed by the angel. Don't you love Mary? She had to know that being pregnant out of wedlock was going to be a stigma and the town talk in Nazareth. She had to know how she would be looked down upon. She would be despised as an adulteress. But she said, let it be to me according to your word. What faith, huh? What faith. So, that's our first angelic messenger, the Christmas messenger, Gabriel. And, you know, I said that Gabriel told Zechariah earlier that he, the angel, stands in the presence of God. That's a picture of a servant standing at the throne of a king. Have you ever heard of a lady in waiting or a man in waiting? There was a guy who would stand by the throne of the king, and his job was just to stand and wait until the king gave him instruction. Well, Gabriel stands in the presence of Almighty God, awaiting for instruction. And Almighty God said, Gabriel, go and talk to Mary and give her this news. So it's a great picture of Gabriel being a servant of God. And the angels are just that, servants of God. How's everybody doing? Okay? All right. So God used the angel Gabriel to bring the Christmas message to Mary. I think it was pretty important that she got that message, right? She understood that this was a miracle of God and she was going to be the mother of Messiah. Almost all the women in Israel hoped that they could be the mother of Messiah. Well, Mary was the mother of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Well, there was someone else who really needed to hear this message. Who would that have been? Joseph. Joseph needed to hear the message. Joseph was Mary's betrothed husband, and he found out that his young bride-to-be, who he was espoused to, was pregnant. Wow. Naturally, we know that he was hurt. He was sad. He felt betrayed. So God sent another Christmas messenger to encourage Joseph. And this angel appeared to him in a dream. So we'll be in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, verse 22, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her, did not have relations with her, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. A Christmas messenger came in a dream. Maybe the dream softened the presence of the angel a little bit, because this angel didn't say, fear not. But Joseph in his sleep was spoken to by an angel who was sent by God to give him the news of Jesus' miraculous conception and his miraculous birth. Wow, don't you love Joseph's faith? He too was going to be stuck with the stigma of having a wife who was pregnant with someone else's baby, is what they would think. He must have known what the town talk was going to be, that Mary was unfaithful. But he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And this angel is the Christmas messenger who appeared to him in a dream. Wow. So both Mary and Joseph received glorious news from God through angels. Angels. Yeah, Christmas messengers. Now, since it's Christmas Eve today, I think we should read the familiar account of Christ's birth, which will bring us to the last two angelic messengers. So now we're going to read Luke 2, 1 through 7. And this will be up on the screen for you. Luke 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with his wife, with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So just as the angel had told Mary and Joseph about the miraculous baby that was going to be born in Bethlehem, he was born in Bethlehem, fulfilling the prophecy of the prophet Micah. And according to the sovereign will of God, the news of Christ's birth needed to be proclaimed to people, right? To other people other than just Mary and Joseph. So God sent another Christmas messenger to those unlikely evangelists, the shepherds. Now there's going to be a lot of overlap this morning with last night, because the angels and the shepherds are so closely related. So some of what I said last night, I'm going to repeat today. So God decided to send a Christmas messenger to the shepherds. Wow. So let's read the continuation of the story and turn in your Bibles. We're again in Luke 2, but now we're going to read verse 8 through 12. There were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. They were terrified. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So here we see once again the glorious nature of angels. This angel was awesome and fearful to behold, and the shepherds were terrified. So do you want to meet an angel? Well, it would be pretty cool, but we'd have to get over our fear first, right? Our first reaction would be, whoa, this guy is unbelievably, gloriously radiant, powerful, and intimidating. And we'd probably be on our faces. And the angel would say, "No, don't worship me. I'm just a created being too. Fear not," right? So we see the glorious nature of this Christmas messenger, but he speaks peace to the shepherds and gives them the good news. So finally, God dispatched a whole army of Christmas messengers, a whole gigantic choir is the fourth appearance we're going to talk about today. So I'll continue with Luke chapter 12, verse 13 through 18. After the angel had given the message to the shepherds, and suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Wow. So it was, I'm going to read through verse 18. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has come, that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. We're going to stop there. It was a multitude of angels that came. How big was this choir? How big was this host? By the way, when the Bible speaks of a host, it usually means an army, warriors. These were angelic warriors who appeared and who sang the song and praised God. I picture them with swords drawn, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." They were powerful, radiant, glorious, and they probably sang pretty well. Yes, the hosts of heaven. And they were sent, it's really amazing, these angels were sent just for the shepherds, for the lowly shepherds. They got this great concert of praise. And their message was, God deserves all the glory. To God be the glory. Glory to God in the highest. The Messiah has come, And his arrival brings glory to God and peace to men, right? The Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, gives peace to those who put their trust in him. Amen? Amen. So their message was very simple. Glory to God. And aren't we called to give glory to God? We are created to be praisers of the living God, those who give praise and glory and honor to God. All the hosts of heaven praise God because of the gift of his Son. What a Christmas gift, huh? What a Christmas gift for the shepherds to get the message from the angel, to get the glorious, resounding praise from the armies of heaven. And what a mind-boggling experience for those shepherds. Wow, they would never be the same. They were chosen to be the recipients of the good news of the Savior's birth. And they were also chosen to be the first ones to proclaim the news of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Do you like the Christmas messengers? Are you glad that God has Christmas messengers? I do believe there's some of them here today with us, encouraging us, pointing us to God, telling us to give glory and honor and praise to the Lord because he sent his Son that first Christmas morning. Amen? What a blessing it is for us to have the Word of God, which declares the reality of the angels, these Christmas messengers. So we get to hear from the angels through the Word of God, the announcement to Mary, the message to Mary, the message to Joseph, the message to the shepherds, and the glorious praise from the angelic choir. Oh man. I've probably most of you, those of you that are new, don't know that I have a kind of a sanctified imagination about heaven. That when we get to heaven, there's going to be movie theaters down the streets of gold. And we'll be able to walk down the streets of gold and go, you know what, I think I'd like to see the shepherds receiving the message. And you go in the movie theater and you are there. You don't see the shepherds. You're with the shepherds. It's a virtual reality. You're with the shepherds, seeing this incredible angel, hearing this glorious praise. That's one of the theaters I want to go in. And I want to see that glorious angel and hear that glorious message. Another thought I have, it's kind of crazy. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I hope so. Yeah. So angels truly are the messengers of Christmas. And we have every reason to believe that we are in the presence of some of them today, right now. Because it says in the first chapter of Hebrews that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit eternal life, those who will inherit salvation. They are ministering spirits that are sent for the benefit of those who believe in Jesus Christ. Wow. The messengers of Christmas are also sent to serve the saints, those who believe in Jesus. The saints are those who have believed not only in Christ's birth, but his death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, and his soon return. Amen. They are sent to be ministers or servants to those who inherit salvation. That's you and me, right? Have you put your faith in Christ? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Not just in his birth as a baby, but in his glorious ministry as a man, his teaching, feeding thousands, healing many, and ultimately dying on a cruel cross to pay for your sins. Do you believe that today? Do you believe in Jesus? Have you put your faith in him? If so, then you can trust that God has sent at least one ministering spirit to help you on your, in your walk of faith. You know, the angel candle is also the candle of love. God, in his love for us, has sent his Son to be born of a virgin, to grow into manhood, and to die for our sins. And he also shows his love by giving us the help of angels. That's amazing. Psalm 91 says, he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways so that we won't dash our foot against a stone. Angelic help. That's pretty special. When we enter eternity, I believe we will be shown just how much his angels did for us in this life as they assisted us in our walk of faith. I have two or three near-death experiences where a matter of inches would have killed me. And I got to believe that it was the hand of an angel that kept that. Well, I'll just give you one example. As a kid in college, you know, college kids know everything, right? I was at the freshman orientation at a park called Minnehaha Park in St. Paul, Minnesota. And there was a Minnehaha Creek that went through the park. And there was a beautiful waterfall about, 30 or 40 feet high that just sent down a curtain of water and went. And, you know, Minnehaha Creek had all these fences on it and with signs that said, do not wade in the creek. So what do you think this know-it-all freshman did? Me and my buddy, we climbed the fence and we waded the creek. And we got up under the waterfall. We were sitting under the waterfall and the water was coming down. It was so fun and we were talking to each other about 3 feet apart from each other. Unbeknownst to us, up above, there was a log floating towards the waterfall. And as we were talking, suddenly this log came down right between us. Went on down the creek. Oh, we just went on talking, and yeah, that was pretty cool. But that night, as I went to bed, I thought, why did that log not come down about 2 feet further this way? It would have driven my head right into my shoes. Maybe there was an angel. Because I didn't know Christ at that time. I was not a believer at that time. Had that log killed me, I would have gone straight to hell. But God, I believe, sent an angel to protect me. Angels are sent by God to minister to the saints. Amen. Yeah. So those angels that are with us today are trying to point us to God. They don't live for themselves. They live for Jesus Christ, for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they are encouraging us to give glory to God, to worship God, to put our trust in God, to trust that Jesus Christ died not just for the world, but for me. Have you personally put your faith in Christ? If you have, then you can trust that the Lord is going to take care of you, and he's going to somehow use the messengers of Christmas to assist you. Amen? Amen. Well, Johnny, will you come and light the last candle? It's the Christ candle. That's what Christmas is all about. We just have embarrassed him thoroughly. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. Thank you. Advent leads up to Christmas, which means it leads up to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your angelic messengers that you created to serve you and to serve your people. We thank you, Lord, for all the references in the Word of God concerning these mysterious, powerful, glorious servants of yours. So, Lord, we worship you. And we thank you. We want to learn to adore you, Lord. And the song invites us to come and adore Christ the Lord. So we come to you in worship. We come to you with thanksgiving. We come to you with repentance, asking you to forgive us our sins and to fill us afresh with the joy of Christmas, which is the joy of salvation. Thank you, Lord. I pray your blessing on each and every person and family represented here today. May we sing with the angels, glory to God in the highest. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.